And now to something entirely different. Children leaving the family home can be a source of great pride as they start out on college or simply move out to build lives of their own. But once they've been gone a couple of weeks and you realise they've actually flown the nest and aren't just on holiday, it can stir emotions. It's a time of major change that can be hard to get your head around, leaving you perhaps with feelings of depression, loneliness and grief. Empty nest syndrome is a human experience of loss and separation, totally normal but often very difficult. To discuss this further, I'm joined by GP and mental health specialist Dr. Harry Barry, psychotherapist Enda Murphy, and in our Limerick studio, Dr. Anne-Marie Craven from the Department of Psychology at the University of Limerick. Harry, I think it's true to say that not everybody feels this is a big problem. So what exactly is empty nest syndrome?
Yeah, I think what's important is empty nest syndrome is that period of time, for the 5 years after the final member of your family goes. You know, as long as there's one person there, there's still that feeling that there's somebody around. But then suddenly this gaping hole, because you spent so many years, maybe up to 20, 25 years of your life kind of rearing these children from times they're very small all the way through, might through the college, and then they move on. And what's becoming a major problem nowadays is people are moving on often out of the country. It's mm-hmm. not even just that they're not around at all. Now, for some parents, It's kind of they're clapping their hands in glee and saying thanks be to God.
Liberation.
You know, it's liberation. I'm going to have some. We're going to have some time for ourselves to do the things that we don't want to do, maybe travel or whatever like that. Mm-hmm. But for many relationships, it kind of unfortunately it kind of opens up this chasm. Do you know what I mean? Where suddenly. There might have been maybe difficulties in the relationships. It might be in some cases separated. In some cases, it might be that people have grown slightly apart as time has gone on. Or in some cases, it might be a very deep relationship between, say, them, particularly the mother, do you know what I mean, and her children. And she deeply misses that loss. I mean, I know myself, I have two of my three children are away. And I know I have one child in Boston and a lovely, beautiful little granddaughter. And I know my own wife just pines to see the child. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So she does miss. Do you know what I mean? There is that sense of that missing link.
Look, I think we go to one of the queries we've had, because we've had quite a few, and maybe Anne-Marie, you might just pick up on this one first. Mm-hmm. I'm a 50-year-old mother, and while I'm in a choir, clubs, and have a great job, which I love, I feel alone all the time. I have no one to call on when in need. My two children have left Ireland, and I'm divorced since they were babies. I feel stupid saying this, as I have lots of good things in my life, but I can't open up to people and have not been in a relationship in 10 years, nor do I have any desire for a relationship. I have lots of acquaintances, but no friends.
You know, what's interesting about this listener is they really demonstrate the difference between loneliness and being alone. So they're an empty nester who's experiencing loneliness, even though they have all these groups that they're getting on with. And the first thing you would do if experiencing loneliness is the research would suggest you involve yourself in these groups, and she's already done it. So she's already on the right track and it's not working out for her. But one thing I thought was very interesting about her query is she mentions having lots of acquaintances but not opening up to them. And opening up to people, something we call disclosure, engaging in disclosure, is associated with developing more intimate friendships. So I wonder if she could think about why she isn't engaging in that, and maybe that could be something to work on with some acquaintances that might be closer to her.
Yes, and Enda, what are your insights on this particular case?
As Anne-Marie said there, we're dealing with aloneness versus loneliness. Aloneness is when you're on your own and you accept yourself, you like yourself, this is the way I am. Loneliness is when you're on your own or in a group and you don't like yourself. So the most salient point that I took out of that listener's comment was, she says, I've loads of acquaintances, but no friends. And it's that self-disclosure. Why has she got no friends? And I'd say that goes along back a long way before she ever had
I was just
children.
Going to suggest this is only now coming to a head in the absence of her two children.
Yeah, and quite often what you will find is that empty nesters, that if you kind of, you know, like kind of you had problems growing up and you were lonely or you were this, you were that, you find your identification once you go into what's called the generativity phase, which is, you know, guiding the next generation. You then bury yourself in being a mom or a dad or whatever it is, and men do it in work for, you know, like kind of, you bury for about 20 years. But then when you come out the end and they fly the nest or you leave work, now you're back to the original problem that you had before you even went in to actually having kids in the first place.
And we're talking about a very young woman, Harry, aren't
yes,
we?
This is a very. I thought the saddest part of this was the statement, I have no desire for a relationship. This is a very young woman, do you know. I have lots of acquaintances and no friends. So this is a person who, the word I would use, this girl feels very isolated to me, mm-hmm. somebody who's very isolated in herself. So for me, something happened to this girl along the way. I think this girl probably was very hurt by the previous difficulties in her relationship, mm-hmm. and that has caused her to shut down a whole segment of her life. In other words, this possibility of interacting with somebody else. So I would say to her, maybe she's going to have to find within herself the ability to open up, to literally to open up to all possibilities. So when I go open up to my friends, create opportunities.
Yeah, she could have 25 or more years.
Absolutely.
Could,
yeah.
Of healthy, you know
it's a long life to be lonely. Do you know what
yeah.
I mean? And you know, it's not necessary for her to be lonely, but to do that, she is going to have to break out of the shell that she's created out of herself. She's closed herself down.
Here's the other one, and Andy, you might pick up on this first. Another one. I am so lost and lonely without my three children, whom I reared single-handedly. I feel part of me left with them. Two of them are out of the country. I miss the phone calls and chats about their jobs and social lives. I miss the big hugs on a Friday evening and then the washing being produced. Can't believe I do. I miss fussing over the weekend meals, especially the roast dinner on a Sunday. I miss the hugs on Sunday nights and waiting for the text to say they're back safe. They're great for keeping in touch, but it's just not the same. I'm counting the days till they shake off the travel bug. I have no interest in building a new life without them in a town I never wanted to be in. I'm 56 now.
Do you know what? It's amazing how this lady said it wasn't that she actually wanted them home. She wanted them to get rid of the travel bug, because when we were researching this whole topic over the last couple of weeks, the two salient points that came up was all the callers that came in happened to be single. All right, they were either in divorced or separated or whatever it was. And the other one was the children were out of the country. And I used to often say, you know, the happiest place in the world is the arrivals lounge in Dublin Airport on Christmas Eve. And the saddest place in the world is the departures lounge on New Year's Day. So like kind of, you know, this whole idea that your children's there, she misses the hugs on Sunday. It was the physical contact that she actually had. And this whole idea is that whether you adapt, how you learn how to adapt to the circumstances, this is a very, very normal adaptation from one stage of your life to another stage of your life. And it's how well you're able to adapt. And it's all to do with the relationship you actually have with yourself. Because this adaptation isn't just to do with losing the kids and having nothing else. It's all the central tasks of actually, you know, of middle adulthood, which we call it, is one, developing a sense of unity with your mate or friends. Do you understand? Mm-hmm. Socially responsible work, do voluntary work, get out there. You know, you still have a contribution to society. It hasn't all ended because your children have actually departed.
Anne-Marie, I'd hate to be unkind to anybody who's obviously feeling, you know, the absence and the loss, but I'm just looking at that sentence. I missed the hugs on a Friday evening and then the washing being produced. Can't believe I missed the washing being produced. But is there an element of maybe people just doing too much for their children, for which they ultimately will pay a price when they're gone?
Well, I can produce some laundry if that would help the listener at all. I think for people whose role is very, very heavily involved in parenting, and of course any parent, their parenting role is important to them, but for some it might be nearly their only role, if that makes sense, or and when that role is gone, you can feel a lot more lost, you know. The laundry means a lot more to you than the Sunday roast and so on. So I think it's important, and we don't do this enough in Ireland, I think we need to look ahead to that phase of life where your children will move on and think, what will I do and how can I plan my life for myself now, so that when I don't have the laundry to do, I'm actually relieved, you know, I'm not missing it. And that's something we just don't do in Ireland. We don't like to have the conversations. I mean, I noticed this listener as well says she's hoping the children will shake the travel bug, or she can't wait for them to shake it. And I wondered, what if they never shake it, you know? So we need to have a plan for ourselves for when that normal period of an empty nest does occur, so that it can be a little bit more positive than it is for this listener at the moment.
Harry?
I also think, you know, we have to look at what's the purpose of basically rearing our children. A really important statement. I love this line. The purpose of rearing our children is to give them roots to grow and flourish and wings to help them fly the nest. So if we're going to really do our job, you know, as parents, we have to give them those nourishing roots, but we also have to give them the ability, the wings to fly. I think what's really sad in some cases is that when they do fly, we're actually forgetting that we've actually done our job. Mm-hmm. And another lovely line is that I say to many, many parents, we have to let our children go if we want to get them back. In other words, if we want to get them back as mature adults who have experienced life, who experienced the world, and come back to us as adults, and the kind of relationship we will have with them will be completely different. So I think it's really important that those are the keys behind growing. And I think if we don't, if we block any of that, I think the trouble with that is then we end up with the kind of situations that we have.
Believe it or not, this is a stage that we go through between about 35 till about, 55, 60 years of age. And the main existential question that we're trying to answer is, and trying to develop here, because if you're going to go into the next stage, is, can I make my life count? And if you look at what the washing is, I don't think she's actually looking forward to the washing, but it's what the washing actually means to her. And it's feeling wanted, feeling needed. Mm. And this lady is just, they don't need me anymore. Mm. And that's a very sad. But there's lots of things she can do. Your children might need you, because the central task is relinquishing your central role in their lives. But there's lots of things she can actually do, because there's lots of people who need it.
One of my regular weekly tonics is the Michael Harding column Times on a Wednesday. And the heading today is making a bed in the dark in a camper van after 6 pints is dangerous. Now, we won't go into all of that. But he talks about being on a trip recently, and the very last paragraph describes the journey home. He says, I drove past little bungalows and pebble-dashed mansions lacing the edges of every town. And I was well aware that inside there were more grey-haired parents in the kitchens microwaving their porridge and waiting for a ringtone on the laptop to bring a little sunshine into their morning. I think he's talking about the empty nest syndrome there, Anne-Marie.
It does sound like it. And, you know, it's great that we have technology to enable people to have these conversations with family that are so far away. But when I'm listening to all these queries, it seems that a lot of people are missing their parental role a bit. And Harry mentioned that, you know, you need to let the adults go and come back to you and have a new relationship. But I think for everybody who might be experiencing the empty nest syndrome, it might be helpful to think about how we'll forge that new relationship, or what that new relationship would look like. And there's no reason why you can't have, you know, a new excellent relationship as adults. So it mightn't involve the same reliance on you that you would have had before. But if you figure out how to have this new relationship during this new phase of life, that might alleviate some of the loneliness people are experiencing. And of course, the technology helps keep in touch as well.
What he's actually saying in that article, it's very similar. He says they're behind the window, they're waiting for the call. And it's always the absence of normal social interaction, which has been the norm for them for the last 30 years. So, you know, if you stay on your own, isolation acts as a petrol on the flame.
I'm looking at some of the texts we've been getting in, and I'm sorry we didn't get to more queries. To lighten the mood, I remember my mother used to complain that she was suffering from full nest syndrome because she we never leave. Another one, I was 16 and a 20-year-old and I can't wait for them to be living somewhere else. I want my life back. And another one, I have 2 boys in secondary school, gave up my career to look after them, and I'm already dreading them leaving home. Thinking about it fills me with dread. My husband is the complete opposite. He's looking forward to travelling and having me less focused on the boys. I love my own company and have a good family and not a lot of friends. Look, we're out of time. My thanks to the three of you for joining us with your insights and advice. Thank you indeed for joining us, Dr. Harry Barry, Enda Murphy and Anne-Marie Craven.